welcome to Almost Average. I'm Shreya.
And I'm Julia.
And today we're going to do two segments. First, Julia and I are going to tell you our top five favorite songs, and then we're going to do a food for thought segment. So, Julia, do you want to tell us your top five songs at the moment, top five favorite songs?
Okay, so the problem with this is that I don't have a top five. Shreya has one. She's very like, let me organize everything in my life right now. And she definitely has a playlist of all her favorite songs like for every week, I bet. But I don't really have one. I kind of just play whatever playlist I want to. Oh, no. I almost just clicked a song. It's about to start playing out loud. And then we get copyrighted like Bobby. But I'll let you call it. I've been listening to a lot of Lana Del Rey. Call Me Basic. Shreya called me basic, actually. But I like radio a lot.
Oh, I did. I remember that. But I remember on this podcast, we talked about Lana Del Rey once. And I said, I know she's popular, but I've never actually listened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually started listening to her a lot over the summer.
Yeah. Mrs. Rule. Okay, whatever. I've also been listening. I have this one playlist of songs that I'm like, they're calming. I've been listening to it a lot, so I'll just tell you my favorite songs off of there. The Gold by Phoebe Bridgers, Doctor My Eyes by Kamari. I don't know if that's a cover or not, but I like his version better. And where is it? Dear Theodosia from Hamilton, and Evergreen by Omar Apollo. Well, there's this one song that's like, can I sing it? I don't know. Got a Find Peace of Mind. It's by Miss Lauryn Hill. It's called I Gotta Find Peace of Mind. I like that one too. That's more than five. Okay, sure, you can go now.
All right, so these are my top five, going from number five to number one. So the last song I'll say is my number one song at the moment.
She is
like, I actually love that song so much. But let's start with number five. I still really like the song right now. It's called Rug by Kevin Kramer. I listened to quite a bit of Kevin Kramer, actually. He doesn't have that many songs out yet. He's like a little, he's like a smaller artist and he's just starting out. And he's from New Jersey, which is cool because I've never like he's close to us. Like he lives near us and like he's kind of popular. Like I think that's great. And then number four is Love Grows by Edison Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you know that song? It's a good song. I like it.
Girls, the one about Rosemary.
Yeah, that's the one. I really like that one. It's a little pick me up. And then I really like Devil. And the number one is I really like Devil's Advocate by The Neighborhood. Do you know that song? It's such a good song.
I don't know any of their songs by name, but I think I've probably heard it.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't know. I think I don't know how it came up. I don't know how it came into my playlist, but I have like two review playlists, which are like songs I listen to somewhere, and then I put them in there to like organize them to put in other playlists. And it just like randomly showed up in my two review playlist one day. I have no recollection of putting it in there, but I'm glad that I did because it's a really good song. And then I recently rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it was number two.
It had a really good playlist.
Right. Playlist. And in the second one, it's Star-Lord or Peter Quill, whatever they call him. Yeah. And he's fighting with his father, Ego. And then, like, Ego, like, crushes Peter's Walkman. So then, like, Peter, like, gets out of the trap or whatever. And he goes, you shouldn't have killed my mom and crushed my Walkman. And then the Chain by Fleetwood Mac starts playing. And I'm telling you, it is such a good song. I never thought I'd like, old songs, especially, like, I would say that Fleetwood Mac is rock, and I never thought that would like a rock song, but I just think because of that moment in the movie, plus just it's just generally a really, really good song. And I know that it's popular, so I really like that one. And the last one, I don't know if Julia would know this actually. It's Honey by Coastal Club. Do you know that song? It's so good. It's like borderline country. But it's more poppy than country. I think it's just because of their vocals that it feels like country. But it's the best song ever. Like, I think this is one of my most favorite songs that I've listened to in, like, the past year. By Coastal Club.
Okay.
was I gonna say? I would say that I like this song way more than some Rule songs, because let's be honest, I don't like all Rule songs. I love most of them, but not all of them. But I really like Honey by Coastal Club. But then I'm gonna add one more, because I feel like now that I said I like it more than Rule songs, I'm gonna mention another one that I like more than most Rule songs, and that's 505 by the Arctic Monkeys. Like, every time I listen to that song, I just start like levitating. I swear to God, it's that's such really a good song. Love that song. That was 6, but it is what it is. I hope you enjoyed my playlist.
I did 6 too. It's okay. Okie dokie, guys. We're going to move into our food for thought segment. We haven't heard that name in a while. Are we doing just one or two questions?
We can start with one, and then we can go on to the second one if needed.
Gotcha. The question is, that Shreya's written down here. Loading. Hold on. I'm sorry, guys. It's 8 a.m. Just by the way, when we're recording this right now. The question here is, do all people deserve respect? Shreya, do you want to start out?
Yeah, sure. I think that initially everyone deserves respect. You know, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. There are some things that a person can do for them to lose respect. You know, generally if they're rude and honestly, sometimes I lose respect for people that don't care enough to educate themselves. Like, if they're dumb, like, that's fine. But, like, if they're, like, intentionally ignorant, then that's something that makes me lose respect for them, because, like, they could be doing better. And I also, it also kind of, like, puts me off when people, like, don't have goals and aren't actively working towards them. Because I think a lot of, like, of our purpose is to have goals and be independent and work towards those goals. Like, that's, like, what you're supposed to do in life. But there are some people that I know that are just, like, whatever happens, happens. I'm just going with the flow. Like, that, how long is that going to work?
Yeah.
I think you need some structure in your life. And then, yeah, I think if people are like that, then obviously respect takes, like, a lot of energy and a lot of consideration and a lot of thought. So if they're not, like, worthy of your energy in that way, then I don't see why you should respect them over a long period of time. But initially, if you're meeting someone, yes, don't be rude to them. Like, when you meet them for the first time, be kind to strangers. You never know what's going on. But once you know the person and, like, you figured them out, then it's up to you to choose if you want to continue to respect them or not.
Yeah, I agree with all those points. I think you kind of hit it on the nail. I would also just add that, like, I think there's different levels of respect. Like, everybody deserves respect. Like, you shouldn't walk around hitting people. But then there's a certain point of, like, where respecting somebody else may mean not respecting yourself. Because if you're respecting someone who's treating you poorly, then you can't be respecting yourself. So I think that's also something that should be kept in mind once you, like Shreya said, you know the person and you're evaluating whether or not you should keep respecting that person. Yeah, that's essentially it.
I really like the point that you made about the different levels of respect. Like, I didn't even think of that, because in my mind, respect is like you give it or you don't, or like you get it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess I could kind of see, like, you could be, yeah, that makes sense. I really like that point.
Like, being courteous to everybody, yes. Yeah. But treating everybody like they're highly esteemed person, that's up to you to decide.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think we can move on to our next question, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So our next question is, can a human without hope live a full and happy life? And I think this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. So I guess I'll start off, because Julia just made a face at me. But
just thinking.
but you can go first if you want.
I don't care. You can go ahead.
All right. I think no, humans cannot live a full and happy life without having hope, because life is about living it, not just existing. You have to live life. You can't just exist in space and time. And hope is kind of what drives us forward, hoping for the next achievement, hoping for the next time you see your friends, you know? And I think that a person could certainly survive, but life is more than just surviving. Anyone could just survive. They could get a job, pay their bills, and just end life without being fulfilled. And I hear stories like these all the time where people, again, I was saying they didn't really have a lot of goals and they just end up working some mediocre job and just make barely enough to pay their bills and buy food. And then they just like complete their course of life without really doing anything significant or fulfilling. And it doesn't have to be like, and when I mean significant, it doesn't have to be like winning a Nobel Prize. Fulfillment is different for every person. And for me, it might be, you know, making a certain amount of money by the time I'm a certain age. But for other people, it might be building long-lasting relationships or, you know, starting their own business or putting out their own album, you know, doing something that truly makes them happy, at least one thing. And it has to be like a big thing. Like, I'm not talking about going to like Panera because Panera right. makes you happy. I'm talking about something significant. Life-changing. It doesn't have to be life-changing. See, like, just fulfilling. It just needs to satisfy you.
I see. Yeah.
And it certainly doesn't, and it doesn't have to impact other people. If it's just something that makes you happy and you do it independently and it only affects you, then that's still fine. You liked it and you did it. Right. So I wish that more people kind of tapped into their passion a little bit. And of course, if you have the passion and you chase that passion, you will most definitely have a more fulfilling life than the majority, I would say, that don't really, and they just follow the crowd.
Kind of sucks that you're being agreeable today, because I can't really, like, it's not fun when I can't argue with you. But you made a point earlier on about how people like to move forward in their life and make achievements. And I agree, that's exactly what I thought when I read the question, how I think that it's a part of human nature to want to make achieve greater things. Like, no one wants to stay stagnant. Like, it's almost like what's it called? Like materialism, where you want to have more and more things, even though you have everything that you could possibly need, you still want more things. It's in human nature to want to achieve more, even if you've achieved what somebody else might view as like the optimal level of success. So I don't think you can live a full and happy life as a human without hope, because we're all constantly hoping for more. And that's just in our nature.
Yeah, I really like the point about it just being inherent and like this innate desire for having more. Yeah, I really like that answer. And then we have our last question. What do we consider moral?
That is so vague, Shreya.
But this is what opens it up for conversation. Like, when it's vague, we can talk about it more. Let's try to make this one a debate.
You want us to purposefully disagree?
Purposefully disagree. Do you want to go first?
Sure. So you have time to brew your argument?
No, because I want to see what you're going to say and then say the exact opposite.
I think that there is some morality that is objective. Look at her. She's like biting her lip waiting to argue with me. There's some morality that's objective and some that's subjective. I think that like, it really, really depends, because a lot of it is objective. And from my perspective, I think that like killing somebody is very obviously like immoral. Treating other people poorly, obviously immoral. But walking past a starving dog on the street, is that immoral if you don't have the funds to feed yourself? Like, should you bring the dog with you? Because that would be the kind thing to do. I feel like that's subjective. I think So it really is very, very nitpicky. It depends on the situation. What do we consider moral? I think that if I had to create like a baseline definition, I would say that it's doing what you know to be best for everybody involved, for the majority involved. Shreya?
I'm so upset right now because the baseline definition that you had is like literally the exact same that I had in my mind. I was gonna say like morals are based off of things where you're doing the best for yourself and for others, which is like essentially exactly what you said. So now I'm mad because I can't disagree. But I kind of want to expand on some of the things you said about the murder thing. What if someone killed someone because that person like killed their dog? Like, is that justifiable?
Right. No.
I would think that like if that person killed your mom, I think it would be justifiable.
I think it would be understandable, but also life for a life doesn't change anything. Like the thing that an eye for an eye just leaves the whole world blind. Is that what it is?
Oh yeah. But like, okay, it's not justifiable. I would have sympathy. I would.
Yeah. I could definitely understand, but I wouldn't agree with it.
Yeah. So if like I were a judge, instead of giving a life sentence, I would give 30 years.
Yeah. Isn't a life sentence?
Isn't a life sentence like until they die?
No, I'm pretty sure it's like 30, 25 years. Oh. How long is a life sentence? Let me look it up.
I would give them 5 years instead of a life sentence. Then why do they call it a life sentence? Like, it defeats...
Never mind. If you, a maximum term of the person's natural life. I guess it is. Is a life sentence 25 years? Yeah, a life sentence is 15 to 25 years until the eligibility of parole.
Hmm. Interesting. But I would like give them the least amount of possible jail time because like I get where you're coming from, but you're out of line.
I understand.
Yeah.
I don't really
have examples. Like you said, a lot of it is self-explanatory and like morals should be shared among the general population. And there are some things that are just like in every culture and every religion is looked down on. It's like a universal thing, but I'm trying to think of things where it varies but I really can't remember. Like in India, there's like a good population, like a decent population of vegetarians, and mm-hmm. if you went and asked them about like eating meat, they would like go off. A lot of people would go off on like a rant about, oh, it's like this, that, and like you're not supposed to eat animals, like you're supposed to treat them as other living beings. And like then those kind of morals where it's like animals are like living creatures and we shouldn't purposely kill them, and then we have like people that aren't vegetarians and they'll justify it saying that it's the circle of life and like there'd be an overpopulation anyways and we need our protein. But that does like kind of tap into morals because it's like living creatures versus.
Yeah.
I think that's a good example, actually. I thought I couldn't think of one, but there we go. And all these things, they're always going to be up for debate. I don't think we're ever going to have like a consensus between vegetarians and non-vegetarians. But one thing that is interesting, and it's like slightly off topic, but they're like building or like growing meat in a lab now. They're growing babies in labs. So like modern morals will definitely be subject to change in the near future just because of so many new developments.
Yeah, they're constantly changing. I mean, to that point about the vegetarians, I think it was. It was said vegetarian, mm-hmm. not vegan. I think it's also, like, there's a very fine line between, like, right and wrong. Because, obviously, it's okay for them to share their opinions, for everybody to share their opinions, have their voice be heard if they think something is wrong. But then it's not okay to impose yourself on other people's lives. Right, like, it's there's a very fine line. Like, you can't force somebody to do something just because you believe it's wrong. But then there are some things, like murder, where if you believe it's wrong and somebody else does, well, they're a sociopath, and that's like then you can impose it. So there's a very fine line, and that's why we have the judicial system. Whoa. Sharia?
Yeah, so boundaries is essentially what you're talking about. I agree with not imposing, and like, and it comes to religion too. And I've never seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've never seen like people of my religion go around and ask people to convert. Like, I feel like we're very, like, to ourselves. Like, Hindus, we're very to ourselves. But, like, Christians, and, like, no hate at all. Okay, I respect everyone and all religion. But, like, they would literally, quite literally, show up at your door with a Bible in their hand and ask you to convert.
I think those are mostly Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, but, I don't know what that means, right? So, and this is, like, a very, like, I observe this. This is not, like, I'm not, like, getting this out of nowhere. Like, I've had more than two people, or, like, two occurrences of when people have showed up at my door asking me to convert to Christianity.
Yeah.
And it's odd, you know, like, imposing religion. And I guess that's how, like, the Christians do it. And that's how they've done it. Like, all the Crusades and stuff.
I don't think it's a Christian thing. I think it depends on the, like, you have to see that there are, like, different branches of Christianity. Like, there's 20 different, there are more than 20 different kinds of Christianity. But, yeah, a lot of, there are definitely more. It's also, we live in a country that's mainly Christian.
Christians, yeah.
Right. But,
so, yeah. Like, maybe other Christians would look down upon those parts of Christians where they impose religion. Like, and, like, morals, again, like, is it moral to impose religion?
Right.
The opinion from a Christian to a Christian might differ based on what you're saying, because there's different sections.
Yeah.
And then, like, the opinion might differ from a Christian to a Hindu, just because we don't, like, impose it in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, there are definitely a lot of examples where it really depends on the situation and depends on the person and depends on the background.
Yeah. I agree. Is that all we have for this question?
I believe so.
All right. Are we going to... Is that all we have for this segment?
Yes, we do. So thank you guys for listening. We've been trying to post more consistently. We've just been really busy because of senior year, but we're back on the grind. But yeah, please give us a follow on X/Twitter and also Instagram. Both usernames are _almost_average. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on Almost Average.